AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Does a robot know you like a neighbor?
Insurance Corporation will fulfill request to cover anyone, anything, anytime, anywhere, with most standard algorithm in the order it was received. Please hold.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting the insurance coverage you need always starts with a conversation. Find a Farm Bureau agent at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
What you're about to listen to is a conversation with Martin Anderson, a graphic designer and photographer, and most importantly, a dyed-in-the-wool Tottenham Hotspur fan. About a year ago, myself and a mate of mine called Charlie embarked on a project to create a film about a book that's a part of the Tottenham Hotspur folklore. It was produced about 20 years ago by a student called Paul Womble. It's called Tottenham Boys, We Are Here. The book was printed in the late 70s and was an excellent and incredible snapshot of the Tottenham Hotspur fan culture at the time. Now, we'll save the story of We Are Here for a later date, but our research led us to Martin. A friend of his had listened to the podcast and heard us talk about our film and recommended that we speak to Martin. We were told that he'd spent 4 years going home and away armed with a camera to capture moments in time that perfectly summed up what it means to be Spurs. His work culminated in the final games at White Hart Lane. His book is incredible, genuinely, genuinely incredible, and it makes me profoundly proud to be Tottenham. And it's an excellent understanding of what it means to follow a football club in the modern era. It's an incredible piece of work. It's a piece of art, actually, where Spurs fans are the subject. And, you know, if you like photography, if you love Tottenham, if you like looking at well-designed and high-class quality material, then you can't go wrong by purchasing Can't Smile Without You, which is the name of the book, and I couldn't think of a better title for it. You can buy Can't Smile Without You now by going on Martin's website and ordering directly. A link to that is on the pinned tweet of the Fighting Cock Twitter account. All right, enjoy.
It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Cock. It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Cock.
Oh, come on, shut up.
Talk about Martin. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Why are you here? Why are we talking about? Why are you on the Fighting Cock podcast?
Well, you've invited me on here.
There is that.
Because I've made a book.
Yeah, you've made Tottenham. A book. You did make a book about Tottenham. People are going to recognise straight away that you're not from Tottenham or you're not from England.
I was born in Denmark, 72. Moved over here in 92. And, started supporting Spurs when I was just after the World Cup final, 1978, Argentina, Holland.
Yeah, because
I sort of supported Argentina too. There was the first game I ever watched. I was allowed to watch it.
For those that don't know, that 1978 World Cup final played between
Argentina and Holland. Yeah,
yeah, and
quite a controversial sort of thing.
It was because there was a massive the military junta.
Yeah.
At the time,
yeah.
And a lot of people said that the 1978 World Cup was a distraction from the atrocities that were happening. Something like 30,000 people died in Argentina at the time, but it did the trick.
Dictatorship.
Yeah,
it got the concert together. And,
It did massively, and there were two players playing in that game that ended up joining Spurs the season after. Actually, not and season,
that,
like a few
that's
weeks
why ago. I became a fan.
Yeah, so you're watching Spurs from
I watched that game, and then, you know, I fell in love with football. Seeing that, I sort of expected every game to be like that, with the confetti and the kind of, you know, it was incredible. Yeah. Spectacle to watch as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I started wanting to watch football. So it was Saturday on Danish TV. There was only one channel when I grew up. So I guess it's like BBC One back in those days. The one channel. And every Saturday they would play a game, and it would either mainly be Everton, Liverpool, or Tottenham.
Who were probably the biggest teams in
at that time? Yeah. And then all my other friends picked the other teams. And because we just signed VN Adidas, Tottenham became my team. I thought I wanted to support them.
Yeah.
So I've always had this rivalry with my best friend, Anna.
So it wasn't. How long
did you pick Liverpool?
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. And Liverpool were like dominant then, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
But it was just because of that.
And they had that Danish connection with Jan Mølby.
That's right.
So later on, and kind of, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, what domestic football in Denmark wasn't.
It's never been interesting. My uncle was a second division player in the Danish league, and he kind of took me to football. So I played football from a very early age, four or five, I think, was that. But I was never passionate about the teams. So I think it's just it's always like it's bigger over there. So I fell in love with Division One English football.
And just to sort of draw a line under this, like some people might ask a question like, how much can you love Spurs, or how much can you love a club if you're not even
really not?
Yeah.
Well, I think as a person, I'm quite a liberal. So if I grew up, my dad was a kind of captain. He sailed all over the world. It's kind of we never had much patriotism. In our family. I've always supported Argentina more than the Danish national team. I mean, now I support England more because I've been here for 30 years. But I think I've with Tottenham, you pick a club, you support them your whole life. So I've never where I lived as well. There was no Danish.
No team.
What was it? And later on, it's Brøndby or FC Copenhagen. They're the two sort of biggest team in Denmark. But I had no relation to them whatsoever.
So you fell in love with Tottenham, and you've moved over here to study in 1992.
It is a weird thing, though, isn't it? It makes me kind of laugh because I never thought about it that much.
Yeah.
I guess it's like following a band or whatever. I don't know. You fall in love with a song and you become a fan, don't you?
Yeah.
You might dislike it later on, but you're still in your heart.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
Of course.
And I think with Tottenham, I just picked that, became my team. And at that, when you're 5 or 6 years old, it was probably as much about my rivalry with my friend than with anything else. You know what I mean? But it's always just that thing. You pick Tottenham, therefore you're a fan.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And just like say by a fan, you've been since 92, and you went for your study.
Well, and then I moved over here, and I lived in South London. I lived in North London. I lived in Turnpike Lane for quite a few years, so I could walk to the stadium. Obviously, when I moved over here in 92, I could start going regularly. So I could start kind of doing myself, I was queuing up on Park Lane in the middle of the night to try and get tickets against us.
We talked about this before, didn't we? Like how different the game has been.
Yeah.
It was, and how it has become. The way you'd get an option of getting a cup final ticket at the start of the season, every FA Cup game you'd go to, you'd get a raffle ticket and you'd put it in your membership book, and then at the end of the season, we probably wouldn't even get there. No. In 91, if you weren't a season ticket holder, you would have to collect these raffle tickets, and then at the end of the season, towards the end of the FA Cup final or semi-final, you'd trade in these raffle tickets to get a ticket. The game's completely changed now.
Yeah. But it's that thing, isn't it? When I first started going, I mean, the first ever game I went to, like to White Hart Lane, was in 91. Keep thinking it's either 1990 or 1991. It's in the book, got the right dates, but it was Tottenham Wimbledon and the Port Wallace and Maverick and that. But that moment when you first walk up, I know it's just a cliche thing, but when you walk up the staircase and you see the thing with Park Lane, and it was just goosebump. And it's like you're just on heroin. I mean, it's a total drug addiction. You want more, and I think that's when you realise what football means.
Well, the rush that rush you feel for the first few times when you do set foot inside the stadium, and I had that when I was a kid. You know, when my dad used to start taking me during the 80s.
Yeah.
But I also had it the first time I walked into the new stadium. It was like being 4 years old again and going up.
But also I think being on the same side as White Hart Lane, that was a big part of that,
massively,
because it takes me back memories of my dad and my, you know, it, isn't it, it's like the history of it,
of course,
it's,
yeah,
you're in the same place but you were in a much bigger stadium, and it's very impressive when you're inside.
It is, although there are, it's going to take a while to build up the traditions that we've had, because it does feel like you're in your new stadium.
I'm still struggling with the kind of the modernness of it.
Yeah,
it feels a bit like going to Stratford.
I know,
like
you mean the shopping centre.
It's just a bit, you know, it's a bit. I mean, it's a lot of. Halloumi pizzas, whatever it is.
It's like a naan and sort of whatever it is.
Street food, isn't it? It's that kind of. It's just modern. It's that kind of like, and all that's fine. And I remember swearing at kind of, you stand there queuing up for warm Carlsberg at the White Hart Lane and off pies.
Yeah.
And now you kind of romanticise about it.
Of course, the nostalgia.
And that's the thing about it.
The beer was terrible. It cost £4.70 for a bottle.
I missed the warm Carlsberg. that's it. To me, it's an amazing new ground. It's all looking up. It's brilliant. You know, I've totally enjoyed the Pochettino kind of years of now suddenly becoming a top four club.
Yeah.
And all that, because I grew up never expecting to win anything. You know, that I never expected to win anything. You never thought when the season started you were going to win the Premier League.
No.
As a kid growing up.
No.
But you were just loving those, like, we always had one or two world class players and you loved them, do you know what I mean? And it's like that,
and then they'd go,
and that was the sad thing about it. But that seems to kind of also have maybe stopped, do you know what I
mean? Definitely put ourselves in a
2 weeks from now they're going to sell Harry Kane and sit there and look like idiots,
probably.
No,
you started on a project though, and I heard about your project maybe about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
From someone you know who's actually in the book, inside that project, and he mentioned the fact that he knew someone who was producing a book of photographs, whose book's subject was Tottenham Hotspur fans.
Yeah.
And what Eric is, I'm sure maybe he still listens to the podcast. So if you do, Eric, and you are listening, I remember the conversation, and I think he even showed me some of the photographs that you might have shared with him on his phone. I remember seeing something, right?
Yeah, because we have a little sort of
sample bunch
WhatsApp the group. So I used to kind of sometimes put up pieces out to take just to see what the boys would think.
Exactly.
So that's probably what he's shown you.
Exactly. Sorry, this is about.
I've kept it quite secret apart from just those lads.
So about 4 years ago, I heard about it and I was like, this is incredible. And the first thing that popped into my head was Tottenham Boys We Are Here, because that was also a book of. Everybody who's listening to this will know, because we've talked about it so many times, but it was a book that chronicled a time that
1978
that
went down division.
It would have been relegated, and it was an just incredible piece of work. And it was there was a certain pride about the fact that we had this great piece of work, and it was associated to our fan base and our football club, and was really nothing to do with what was going on the pitch, right?
That's the first football fan book.
Of
any team.
Well, you feel like that there's, and a part of it is the fact that they did sort of did show elements without being too explicit of the kind of hooligan element, which was interesting. And
like the first inside sort of view shot in a journalistic kind of style where you saw a little bit more than maybe what the newspapers would show.
Exactly. And certainly without the propaganda around it.
Yeah. And also, I think you look at it now, and it just looks incredible, isn't it? Like from a kind of, as a football fan, especially growing up in the 70s and 80s, is the now it looks everybody looks good in it. I mean,
yes,
pure stylistically, the shirts they're wearing and the kind of the haircuts, and it's just brilliant.
And the kind of weird sort of juxtaposition of the masks,
all that stuff is weird, isn't it?
It's like
I still don't quite understand that. I love it. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Always been a fan of kind of surreal.
I get it. I understand. It's fascinating to see and look at, and to place it in football is also a really interesting thing. It's just that it was like when you look at it, you're just like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
Like, what's the reason behind that? What's the reason behind the donkey jackets they were wearing and stuff like that? So. It was a beautiful capture of a moment in time of football fans.
Yeah.
And
if David Lynch could design a football club.
Right, exactly. And then when I heard about that there was someone else producing a book, and there is, let's be clear, and you've made it clear that there was...
Did he mention it was a book at that time?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he did.
Did he? Okay, so it must have been 3 years, because I think for the first 3 years I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I was sort of just. It must be.
He definitely mentioned a book.
Yeah. I've worked in the music industry for so many years, and these documentary projects I've been doing. I did dog shows for 14 years. I did one about the traveling circus, and one about people holidays, and I think that I started this not knowing what I was doing. It was just another kind of release. Away from my commercial work.
So what is it? What is the book? How would you describe it?
So the book now has, I don't know, it's a good question.
What's it called?
It's called Can't Smile Without You.
Yeah.
So I picked that, obviously the song that we sing in the last game of the season. And I've always just, the words, I'm not a big fan of the song, but I've always loved the words. And I think you put the words with the pictures, and I thought, it's beautiful. It's poetic in some ways. And we all feel it. Every morning, I was saying to you earlier, like every morning I wake up, the first thing I do is I go on news now. Look at what's happening with Tottenham. Who resigned, what's happening, what the rumours.
Yeah.
And it's that thing about, I can't, do you mean?
It's a massive part of
it. It's a massive part of my life. And some people say it's a silly part because it doesn't really, do you mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Why am I so obsessed about this? Obviously, I've been doing it for so long. I know there's so many other people like me that are obsessed about the club and the kind of fortunes of it, and you want to experience that, winning it. But it's not only that.
Yeah.
I guess it's not just about winning. It's just about,
to belonging.
Maybe it's about filling out time.
No, it's not. It's an incredible distraction from the banalities of life, right? And existing.
Yeah.
But in its own right, is difficult. You know, purely just existing in the modern world is challenging.
Well, it makes
right?
you dream.
Yeah.
Your dream and take away from all the other misery.
It's about belonging to something greater than yourself, right? And the reason why the song Can't Smile Without You, which is Barry Manilow's song, right? The reason why it's perfect for Spurs...
He's going to sue me now.
I think you'll be all right, right? But the reason why it's perfect for Spurs and why it's such a great name for the book is that is that while we won't win things, or we may maybe now under Mourinho, but while we typically won't win things, the club offers something that's much greater than that, and that's belonging to something that is incredible, but greater than yourself as well. And what the how I would describe your book is a moment in time of a group of Spurs fans, young and old, who go and watch the football club that they love. And it's not about what's going on the pitch. It's not about Daniel Levy and Enoch and the new stadium. It's very much about the people that go and watch and who remain the lifeblood of the football club, right?
The whole reason for being so dedicated about this for so many years, because I could have just have gone without my camera, and obviously you sort of lose out of a bit of fun.
Yeah. You're working, right?
Because I'm working. So 5 years, I kind of can't quite get as strong as I would like to do.
But what
I can't
would you
quite,
do?
You know,
like, what would you? The whole
reason, I think, was that growing up in the 90s, and kind of, we used to have some amazing players, and we would always sell them. Tottenham always felt like a bit of a, And I think it's that loyalty where, you know, one moment you're like Tottenham, and then the next moment you go and play for United, and you're like, what the fuck's that about? And I think with fans, they never switch lines.
Yeah.
And I sort of just thought, do you know what? They're more important than players. And I've always loved the pre-match more than the game. The game is the worst part of the day.
Yeah.
It's the kind of the build-up, waking up, picking the clothes you're going to wear, meeting up with mates, you know, going to the pub, getting drunk, the banter, all that stuff is the best part of the day.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to celebrate.
Right.
I wasn't interested in the player. That was because I considered getting Pochettino to write the forward for it, and now I'm happy I didn't, because I was like, it's not about the manager, because they can come and go. It's not about the
considered in what respect?
I thought about pushing for kind of rising, because we were in such an upturn. We're kind of going, suddenly it's changing. It's kind of, but it was never going to be about the managers or the players. It was about the fans. I just wanted to document the fans. That was it, really. And that's, I guess that's what I've done.
So the people, definitely, 100%. And the people that are listening to this won't know what you're talking about. What is this book? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Why would a Spurs fan be interested in owning it?
Well, I don't know if they are. They will be.
I've seen the proofs. They 100% will be.
I've stolen $20,000 out of my savings, me and my wife's savings to make the books out. So I hope someone would buy it. But it's it's a tricky one. I don't know. What do you think? Do you mean for me, it's. I'm really interested in people.
Yes.
As a kind of photographer. And I think most of my work is about people. And I think this football, even though I've got this massive love, I've got massive love for football, but it's about people. It's about society. It's about kind of how we interact with each other.
Yeah.
And as Spurs fans are so diverse. I mean, you can't say Spurs fans are like that. Someone just asked me these questions, this interview, and they were kind of, what's worse? It's like, you can't say that. They come from all sorts of lives.
It's
politicians and musicians and kind of,
Yeah.
Isn't there? And there's so many different pubs where people drink and it's...
Well, there's different sort of subsections of Tottenham Hotspur. But not like, in any part of society, you'll have a subsection, like a punk, punk groups,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But within that punk group, there'll be enough about punk to use.
But you'll definitely have Sex Pistols on top of the whole thing. Selling out.
But at the same time, you have people that think Sex Pistols sold out, and then there's people in the Spurs fan base that think I'm Spurs, I'm proper Spurs.
Yeah.
And then these guys over here, they're not like us.
And if you don't go to every game, you're not proper Spurs.
You have less of it. And look, there is the value in that. I genuinely see someone who goes home and away is probably the pinnacle of what a Spurs fan is. And
absolutely.
You did that during making this book, right?
No, absolutely. The utmost respect for that. I think that was what I was really intrigued to kind of learn more about that. You know, because I couldn't afford that. To me, I growing up, as a student living here in London, I could only afford 4 or 5 games a season because I had no money. Do you know what I mean? It was like, my mum would send me $20 and I'll put them aside and kind of, you save up, you kind of, then get a ticket. But
when making this book,
so for 2 or 3 years, I would hang around before the games. I would get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and just talk, but mainly to the elderly. I was really interested in getting the stories from the kind of the old, the people that been there before us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've seen us winning this thing, and they're still going. And I was really interested in their stories. And I learned a lot from them, got a lot of respect from them. But then I was also interested in kind of the regulars, if you could say, the ones that go every single game, home and away, to be a dedicated kind of. And that's amazing. I totally almost respect for that obsession. You know, and it was great. And I did that for five years. I did it. I mean, now my wife would kill me for my Sevilla away games. But
during the production of the book,
I go to every home. Yeah,
5 years home and away.
5 years home and away. I think I must have missed 10. I mean, around 10 games.
And you took your camera to every game.
Every game, yeah. There's a few games I didn't have a ticket for, and I'll go right up to the gate. I'll be there the whole day.
You mentioned, actually, didn't you?
Yeah.
We were talking before. You mentioned the fact that you would meet up in the Dolphin pub in Wood Green before Arsenal
away. Yeah.
But you didn't have a ticket.
I didn't have a ticket, no. But I think that's the dedication, I say. I guess that's as a photographer. To me, if you really want to do a great project, you have to be part of it.
But all of that, like, you wouldn't have done that. You may have done it. But it may have been easy to go to a pub, have a few beers with the boys, then head off to the Emirates without a ticket. Is it probably easier, the fact that you loved the subject that you were covering, right? You love Spurs, so...
No, and I think you've fallen into me. I'm such a... I love people. I love talking to people. I give talk to people on the bus. And I think the more I did this project, the more people I would know. And I would look forward to seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the European away trips. Like, you get to King's Cross or whatever, like Eurostar, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you start seeing some of the people you photograph, and it's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because you're part of that.
Well, it is.
It's that way. And a lot of them probably didn't know who I was. Mm. You know what I mean? But I'll get excited because I've been looking at a lot of their pictures. I mean, some of them didn't know how to take the pictures.
Right, so there's Spurs fans in the book and during your process. Because inside the book, how many photos? There's 100 and how many 157 pages?
No, there's 248. It's a big chunky old thing.
248
pages.
And how many photos are in there?
I don't know. I haven't counted them.
Well, you'd probably guess it around 450, maybe 400, 450?
No.
Not that many?
I would say about 120, 130. There's a lot of double page spreads.
Right. Yeah, so
a lot of double page spreads.
But at the end of the book, there's
and then there's a whole section at the end of kind of group shots of people I've met.
Right.
And shot, drunkenly shot in the pub.
Either way, based on 5 years of work, this is a very select group of...
It's very selective, yeah.
And you took how many in total?
I'm scared to put a figure on it, but I would think I probably saw about 3,000 to 5,000 pictures.
Yeah,
and there's about 120 pictures in there. So there's a lot that's been left out.
Is there? And when you were creating, were you telling people that you were shooting for a book or
no? Well, maybe the last year when I sort of started thinking that I'm going to make a book and I was determined about doing it, or maybe the last 2 or 3 years, but definitely not in the beginning. I mean, people asked what I was doing, and I was, you know, I was showing my membership card, season ticket, and say I'm a Tottenham fan, and I you know, photographer and documents. Do you mean?
And what was the reaction when you said to?
Well, it wasn't always, no, in the beginning. It wasn't always good.
But what was the good reaction? But tell me about that. Tell me about how people reacted when.
No, there's been a lot of positive kind of, you know, people be really interested in it.
Yeah.
Do you mean? It's been a lot of compliments, and people were sort of saying, like, do you mean, just being amazed by the dedication, I guess, of wanting to do that.
Are they interested, though, the fact that they know that this book is going to be an incredible thing for Spurs fans to own? Because they... you're going to be humble here, but...
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. Do you mean, it's...
Well, surely they want to be a part of... They want to be a part of something that they know is going to be an end product that's lovely and sits on your...
Yes, and that's been the worst part of the project. Because I love shooting, I love going to all the games, I met so many amazing people. I've hated to kind of go, you're not in the book, when I'm sitting there with my editor, and I had to give the job to someone else to edit it, because it got too much, you know. I started working on it.
Was it too big?
There was too many pictures, and when I started editing the book, of the work, I started doing it as a kind of chronological every game from 2012, Harry read that up until, and it just didn't work. It felt like a mess,
yeah.
of like, you know, it became more like journalistic kind of chronological, and I wasn't interested in that as a person, as a kind of, I love photography books, and I think I had to be honest to what, you know, I love Tottenham, but I'm also a photographer and I'm an art photographer and I love photography, so I wanted the pictures that are in there to be of some kind of artistic merit, and I hired a photographer who I really admire to take on that challenge to edit the book.
Mm.
And it was his idea to kind of make it, his idea was to say, let's edit the book so it feels like a day in football, even though it's shot over 5 years.
Yeah. So, and that's what it is.
It starts early in the morning and it finishes sort of after the game. And but it's shot, I mean, shot almost.
So what the book is based on what you've just said, right, is that it's 200 odd pages.
Yeah, 248, yeah.
248 pages of the chronicles a day in the life of a Tottenham Hotspur fan, but it's isn't one fan, it's many, spread over 5 years.
Yeah, and it's shot home and away and in Europe and yeah.
And the weird thing is because obviously you've been on social media and Twitter, is that I recognise many faces in there. Like, look, I wish I was in there, right? But there's people I know, not really, really well, but I know them. I know them to have a chat with and say hello to when I'm over Tottenham if I see them, right?
That's a lovely part of us being here now, being whatever age we are, we're still going to Spurs. It's a generation thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think Joe Kerr writes about it so beautifully in the foreword. He wrote the foreword of the book. Joe Kerr is an amazing writer.
Yeah.
He's published quite a few books. He's also a bus driver. He's always driven past the Tottenham Stadium.
Sorry. He's an author and a bus driver.
He's a bus driver. So he's kept his bus driver. Yeah, he loves driving the bus. And that's why I got him. Because he used to work at the Royal College. He's an extremely intelligent guy. And he's kept his bus driving job driving past the stadium. Massive Tottenham fan. And it was really important to me to select only people that support Tottenham could be part of this book.
Sorry.
So
just one joke. So he's an Electra.
He's going to kill me now. We're talking about him so much.
Really? Is that what he hated?
Yeah. No, I don't know. He's a lovely guy.
But just to draw a line on the Joker, right? He's written your forward because you thought that he'd be the perfect person to do it. He loves Tottenham. Yeah. He's a lecturer and an intellectual.
Someone recommended it to him. So my old lecturer, who's a massive Tottenham fan, John Wolfencroft, said, you need to get Joe Kerr to write this forward. Because he's hardcore. He's been Tottenham all his life. And he drives the bus past the stadium.
That's incredible.
And I was like, so we hooked up, and I went to the pub. I met him at the pub, and I just went up and said, "Listen, I'm working this project," and he said, "You'd love to do it."
Yeah,
and then we met up over this period of a whole summer. We met up sort of every once a week, got drunk, and chatted about it. And I showed him what I was doing, and he wrote this beautiful forward.
Without giving too much away,
it makes you sort of realise you're only part of a tiny bit of the history. You're only part of this little section of it. There have been people for hundreds of years before you that walked that same road, the Seven Sisters Road, up from the pub up to the stadium, and it sort of puts everything into perspective.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a kind of. It's just that it just makes the whole thing more important emotional in some aspects.
I get it. And I've mentioned.
He said, I'm not very good with words. I'm good with pictures, but I'm not good with words. But he's really sums it up, I think. Like, for me, he summed up my pictures.
Yeah.
And I would find it difficult to explain it.
Well, I think it's just, and I know the comparisons between We Are Here and Can't Smile Without You are, they're going to come. They're going to come. From my perspective, they'll come. Because it's a similar piece of work.
Well, it's a book.
And it's a story told by photographs, right?
Yeah.
But what both do incredibly is capture a moment that you know is incredible. You know you belong to an incredible football club and you've made an amazing friends with it.
I feel like the support gig. To me, like the Paul, his book is such a bible, isn't it?
Paul Womble.
Yeah, Paul Womble. You can't repeat that. 1978. Go there. I mean, it's a totally different thing.
Well, you started your work before.
I had no ideas. I only learned about his project 3 years in, and it's I don't think you compare them. I think they're totally two totally different things. They're both printed evidences of fans.
Yeah.
And mine is from the last 5 years before we demolished Water Lane.
Yeah.
And it's chains in, you know, it's the last it's the last bits of that part of football history, I think. I think it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, sure. in the way that I mean, now it's like Beaver Town, and it's kind of
You timed it right.
Yeah, and it's totally accidental because there was no plan of that. But I think now I'm happy I've done it.
Yeah.
And no matter if other people like it, I'm happy that I did it, because as a Toronto fan, I'm happy I captured that moment.
Yes, you have.
For myself.
You have, absolutely. And not just for yourself, but anyone who wants to go out and cop a copy, they can. It'll be available through your website, right?
Yes.
Which is...
So I decided to just do it by myself. Just... purely from the fact of I work in commercial design, and you know, I've always got clients, and I always change stuff, and I always want to do things like how I don't want to do it. And I did go and see early on, about 3-4 years in, I showed a publisher the work, and they loved it, and they said, "Would love to do the book if you could do it into 5 or 6 chapters, but cover 5 or 6 different clubs." I was like, fuck off. I mean, this is the most stupid idea to me.
So they wanted you to cover maybe Chelsea, Liverpool,
but
Arsenal.
But they're thinking commercial, they think as a kind of viewer, just a journalist jumping in and out. It's like, you know. So, and then I just thought, you know what, it's going to be such a thing. And I thought the club's not going to be interested.
No.
Because the club.
Did you speak to the club?
No.
You're better off out of it.
I'm waiting for someone to stand outside my door.
They can't. There's nothing in. This is the beauty of your
book. I went to see a lawyer because I wanted to make sure that I couldn't get sort of done for something. But I wanted to do it my way. And I wanted to do my as a photographer fan and a fan of Tottenham, I wanted to make this thing that was my own. Vision, and I think I'll probably only do this one book in my life, and if that's it, then I'm happy with how it's turned out.
I think it should be. I think it should massively. When you spoke to the lawyer, what did they say?
I was just worried about it. You know,
the club saying you.
Yeah, maybe because I started hitting. The club didn't like Paul Holmes' book.
No, I can imagine.
They really didn't like his book.
But
not that I'm doing, but there's some pictures in there that kind of, you know, there's an action part, if you can call it that.
There's what?
There's a bit of an action part. Do you mean that where, you know, of Tottenham, when we play Arsenal or whatever, you know, there's a few pictures of, there's nothing.
No.
There's nothing bad in there, but it's not the picture the club is trying to do right now.
But that's why it's important. That's why it's important that it's made and it will be redistributed. That's why it's important, because the people that own our football club aren't what Tottenham is. What you've captured in your book is exactly what Tottenham is. It's the people that go, and those moments where there is action in inverted commas. You're not talking about photographing people, throwing punches and hitting people.
No.
You're talking about capturing the mood of when that
the excitement. Is it the excitement?
The excitement, right?
It's the kind of, that's what we all love. We all love that, you know, football. We have enemies, we have, you know, that's what it's about. Without that, it would be totally tame.
One of the best photos in your book is just from a fan's perspective, not from artistic intent. One of the pictures I enjoyed most was in the Park Lane, right, the old Park Lane, because it meant that Arsenal fans were funneled in.
I know it's annoying that's changed, isn't it? That's almost the worst bit about the new ground.
Yeah. But you know, he's talking about the energy, like capturing an energy at the moment. Like, there was a great photo you've got of the police forces, the line of policemen that separated Tottenham and Arsenal. And there's a great shot.
There used to be so much action there. I mean, that was the best part of going to football, was that little stress.
Away fans hated it.
Yeah, and it's sort of stopped now.
Well, cool.
Yeah, no, the away fans hated it because it was intimidating.
They were funny.
It was really intimidating, yeah.
And that's what it was about. And that's such a shame. And what you captured in the book is that moment where we had it. It's almost like the new stadium is incredible, it looks great, it's going to generate more money, we'll be able to buy new players, but what we've lost is these little markers of...
The trouble.
Trouble, yeah. But also what football is about.
Yeah.
You know, that moment... I remember when Spurs played West Ham in the League Cup under Sherwood, one of Sherwood's first few games. Have you got pictures of that?
I've got a few pieces in there.
Right, and I remember going into the stadium absolutely buzzing my tits off because of what had happened outside. Right. And there wasn't...
That's what really made it exciting.
But you captured that. You've captured that in the book. You've captured those moments.
I hope so.
But that's what it felt like for me.
Yeah. But I think that's as a kind of, you know, as a photographer, that's what, you know, that is what is exciting. And in terms of pictures.
Yeah.
Isn't it? For me, you know, it would be boring if the whole book was just that. But it's essential. That is so part of me growing up, going to the games. I remember going with my dad, and I have no idea what year it was, in the 90s. It was Arsenal at home, and it sort of totally kicked off afterwards, and people were kind of grabbing antennas off cars and throwing bricks at each other, and it was totally scary, but it was also totally exciting.
So what do you think that is, Martin, though? Because it's antisocial.
It's totally wrong. It's against everything I sort of stand for as a father and as a...
Of course. No, you wouldn't want to see your kids grow up.
Civilised person.
Right.
But... Yeah.
What? Like, but it's fascinating, isn't it? It's like while you're watching boxing. Every part of me, my fiber, knows that boxing is probably immoral, right? It's a bit barbaric.
Yeah.
But I watch more boxing than I do football.
It's genetic. It's human nature. It's kind of everything is becoming so PC these days.
Yeah.
And I think we're letting go of kind of maybe just, I mean, we are just enemies. And I think that kind of and again that comes down to tribes and you know, that's what we do. It's tribal. Football is tribal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, you wouldn't want to just kill someone.
No.
You know. But there's a healthy kind of reality. Sport in it, isn't it?
And it's because the football and it is a microcosm of the wider society.
Yeah,
and it becomes living in the Western society is such an easy thing now compared to what it might have been like 60 years ago during wars and stuff. That what a lot of people want from football is that new stadium, that comfy seat, that amazing arena, and the very safe existence.
But and then watch on Amazon afterwards,
which is what we're going to see. Absolutely. But I think there is a section of our support and all football support, and I think that exists in both of us as well, is that there was also something great about what went before it.
Of course, it's like we romanticised by everything.
Yeah, but I feel like we're right about romanticising. You can't remember, some people romanticise they're wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're right, because just 10 years ago football was a different beast. Certainly Tottenham was a different beast than what it is now. And again, I still
miss White Lane. I think I always will. And it's just a massive part of my life. You know, I'm happy that I think the club made an amazing decision of building in the same place. But
it's changed.
But it's changed. You
and,
know,
and this is what I'm saying. I'm not sure if you were aware of it when you were taking your photographs.
No, I wasn't aware of it, and I think, you know, I'm becoming more aware of it now, because now I realise what's happening. I when I started the project, I didn't know White Lane's going to disappear. There was no plans of that at that time, and you know, it's sort of sad. It's a sad picture book of pictures of your ex-wife.
Exactly. But it depends how you look at it. You could be happy that it existed.
No, I'm totally happy. And the young generation are going to grow up not knowing what that was. And in 100 years from now, they'll probably build another stadium.
Yeah.
And it'll be, and then people will complain about it not being like how the new one is.
Absolutely.
That's just the way life is. And I think the older you get, maybe you become more like that.
Do you know, my feeling from looking at your book is that the people that are in it will, in 50 years' time, they'll have this.
They'll be dead.
A lot of them are probably dead before that. No, but the they'll be looking at it and go, "Do you want to come and see a picture of me when I used to go Spurs?" That's what's great about it, and that's what was great about Tottenham Boys We Are Here. But what's also great about this now is that if I was in that book, or if my brothers were, right, they'd say the exact same thing: "Is do you want to see?"
In 50 years from now, they might say, "What is the book?"
They will.
But there won't be any more paper.
Yeah. But when we were researching, we were making this film about Tottenham Boys We Are Here, which we interviewed for just before we started recording this. And the amount of people that, after we reached out, saying, "I was in that book, I've got stories to tell."
Yeah.
The same things are going to come out of this. And like you said...
It's totally fascinating. I mean, it's a different era. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, and it's like that's when he documented that there were no mobile phones.
Yeah.
There were no, you know, nobody brought cameras along, so there was no evidence of anything. Mm. Now everything is recorded. Every game that is in my book have been somehow documented on a mobile phone or
elsewhere.
Or, yeah. And it'll be on YouTube on a kind of, not my picture, but it will be. There'll be an evidence of
right.
it.
Right. But your picture is like a painting of that.
But I think that's why the two things are very different.
Yes.
I probably work more as a.
From an artistic perspective,
yeah, maybe, yeah,
just purely documenting,
yeah,
because of the yeah. when Tottenham Boys were here with producers, you say there wasn't constant documentation of things that were happening,
yeah,
there was just these photos, and that's why that book means a lot.
He was the only one that had a camera, 1978, the whole season, so he got the whole gig,
yeah, yeah, so and that's great that he did do it,
yeah.
But what while everybody will be able to look. The people in this book will see it, but I think a lot of fans, when they buy it, Spurs fans, they'll notice the game. They'll know where it is. They'll see the kind of nuances of each photograph and know, oh, that was at Villa Park, or that was at
yeah.
Dortmund yeah. away, or whatever it was.
And if they don't know, then in the back, that's how I credit every picture.
Yeah, you came it's, up with like quite nice.
Yeah, I didn't want to come up with that. A lot of people say, you should write the story off that picture.
Don't need to.
And I wasn't. That's not me. I'm not a journalist. I'm a photographer. And one of the pieces is a white page picture. And something. And often it's just a singular picture. And yeah. the page next to it is white. But I wanted to credit each picture by the game it was. So it's yeah. kind of quite geeky. I mean, the game, who scored the goals, minute,
the attendance.
Attendance, stadium.
But no, it's nice. That's referee. A nice. It's a throwback as well, a little bit.
Yeah.
That's how.
Yeah, and then I guess you can pick out the games you were at, and you kind of, you know.
Mm.
But also, I think, do you mean, maybe, and this is not something I ever thought about until like this second, but maybe somehow it also gives an insight into, for fans that can't go, like me growing up in Denmark, an insight into what it's like to. Do you know what I mean?
Because
you get a feeling of what it's like to be there,
yeah.
not just watching
yeah.
it.
You'll be surprised at the amount of people that pick this book up from the States. Like you're,
oh, really?
You're, yeah, be prepared to ship to the
I
States.
I hope so. So far, I only sold one copy. I don't know who that is.
to the States?
Yeah.
Right. No.
Anyone out there in the States?
Look, well, if you're listening to this and you haven't been able to come over to England. And even if you have been able to visit Spurs in the last year or two, what you see in this book isn't what you experience as a fan going to the modern stadium.
No.
What you see in this book is a snapshot of what it used to be like going, there are lots of people still going to the game that are in this book, do you know what I mean? But it's a snapshot of what it was like for me going to watch Spurs. This is what it felt like in the 90s. And in the 2000s.
But maybe that's more, you know, if I have to be totally honest about it, it's probably my, what I fell in love with in terms of football and Tottenham is what I have depicted.
Yeah.
Because I could have photographed, you know, hipsters hanging about.
Yeah.
You know, or.
Because that's another element of it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
I get it.
But it's you know, I photographed the kind of characters and the vibe that I fell in love with when I started going, and back, I mean, this was in the 90s when I started going with the football. So those pictures are probably yeah.
Do you ever get any trouble for having a camera around at a football match?
I did. During the first 2 years, I just interviewed sort of. The older generation and the kind of youngsters, and then I wanted to start photographing the regulars, and I wanted to photograph more action stuff, and I think I just, you know, it's you know, when you roll up with your camera at 8 o'clock at night when playing Arsenal at home and you're using a flash, I suddenly realised I got in trouble for that.
What would happen?
And it's kind of I don't know, maybe I was stupid, I just assumed like I was a Tottenham fan, I was just there. But then you don't. I didn't realise there's also like journalists from like Daily Telegraph and
yeah.
where was Sun and photographing, wanting to photograph people in trouble. Or do you mean crazy?
Yeah.
You know that.
So there were
that you know, there's always people around wanting to take pictures to kind of sell newspapers.
Of course.
And yeah. I was there as a kind of artistic photographer, wanting to capture the beauty of my club and what I fell in love with. So when I was there, kind of shooting my flash, there was one game where it was Arsenal at home. evening game and someone grabbed my camera strap and then I had to sort of wrestle out of it and two guys chased me down the road.
We're all Tottenham,
and they're thinking I'm sort of some undercover.
But you can understand it, right?
Of course, totally. And I got hit. I mean, Sunderland away, I got hit by some kind of thought that you know.
Sorry, that's fine.
You mean yeah? Someone that thought I was like a journalist.
Well, see, you know. He lumped you.
Yeah.
What in what way? How bad?
No, nothing bad. Just kind of slap, like you know. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Like, why are you taking pictures of us?
So, and this that must be difficult because you are one of us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that made me more determined. That made me go kind of. It just made me more determined. I wanted to kind of be more part of it.
Did you not feel
and I think,
like...
I think it's totally understandable. I mean, I would feel threatened if someone saw me when, like, I don't like before you filmed me interviewing, I didn't have a camera on my face. And that's me knowing, agreeing to doing this.
Yeah.
And then if you don't agree to it, then you know, someone comes up and flashes you in the face.
Yeah, bearing in mind that some of the people you're shooting may...
And you don't know the guy. You know,
and you don't know what... Yeah. Like, you know, there's a big thing about being documented, certainly if you're involved in some of the more extreme versions of following football.
Yeah.
You don't want to be documented what
you're doing.
No,
of course not. No. Well, but I think it's kind of... That was a big part of... I mean, there's at least... I don't know how many. There's a lot of pictures that I would not show. I will not publish because I have respect for people. And I don't want to get people into trouble. And
yeah, naturally, you captured stuff that might get someone in trouble, and you chose not to.
So the pictures of Edison have been carefully selected. So,
I mean, from my perspective, it's a complete celebration of what it means to be Spurs, and you know, it's probably reflective of all supporters of all football clubs. They have their own element of it, and.
So someone wrote that in a kind of article that's going to be published now. I was a bit pissed off about that because I thought that Spurs are better than Spurs are better than the other ones.
But
I guess it is the same. I mean, there are people that love football. They love football and they fall in love with the club, and it's a passionate thing. And it's a
yeah.
I know, and I think that it's what really gets me is that it's so passed on to generations, isn't it? It's like I used to go with my dad, and that connection of kind of the memories you've had with someone that's older than you or a family member that's taking you,
yeah,
it makes a part of it. And I take my son now. My son was one and a half or two. His first game was Arsenal at home because I just thought, you know what,
just take him.
You might as well start. You want to say when you're 20 or 18, you want to say my first game was Arsenal at home.
Oh mate,
and I took him, and he sat on my shoulders when we walked out of the escort, and kind of everything's kicking off. But it's and he will grow up being a Tottenham boy, and it's and he's got the kids, and he talks about it all the time, and he's sad, and it's. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think. No, not
I think, and he loves going up to two brewers. He knows Cliff behind the bar. He gets free crisps.
Oh, bless
him. You know.
So he's building his own traditions as well now.
He's never seen the old stadium. Marley, my daughter, she's six now, but I took her. She went to three games at Whiteland because I wanted her to kind of be able to say, "I went to the old ground."
Yeah. So you're going to indoctrinate him? There you've got a choice.
Well, it's so much part of the family.
But I wouldn't be Spurs.
I used to love going with my dad. Do you mean that? But I used to, and even before we were in Tottenham, just the Danish national games, when I was a really tiny kid, I used to love the excitement going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's you know.
I think a good point to end on would be how you know your father passed away last year, right?
Yeah.
He passed away. And one of the final things we did with him was show him the book, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, tell us a bit about it.
No, it's good to me. I used to, my dad was a massive football fan. He used to fly over sort of 2-3 times a year. Arsenal. He loved the big games.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's a massive fan. And I think he was very proud of me sort of taking on this project because as Tottenham fans, to me, it was, and I think for him as a dad, maybe, as a photographer, and I've done all sorts of different projects, but for this really connected us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Did he enjoy it?
Loves
it
he yeah, so he, to me, unfortunately, he got sick and I remember when we went to the hospital, when we found out, it was me and my mum, my sister, my dad, we found out he was terminally ill, and we were sitting there, the doctor told me, and he was a man from the north, a bit like England, the guys from the north are a bit more quiet than the southerners.
They're not very emotional.
No, not very emotional. He didn't say a word. And then went to the car park, we sat in the car outside, and he sort of turned to us. He said, "Then I won't get to see the new ground."
Right.
And it still hits me now. Because it's kind of, you know, and that's how passionate he was about it. And he got a lot of grief from my mom for saying that. She's like, "Is that the first thing you're going to say?" It's like, you could have said something else. But
did his love of Tottenham come from your love of them?
Yes, I think so. You know,
so then, it's
kind of growing. Do you mean he was a lot more patriotic than I was? He loved the Danish national team,
yeah,
but he didn't have a club. So I think me having sort of Tottenham and me moving to London and kind of got excited. So every time he visited me, we would always go to Tottenham. And then over a period of, well, I think 39 years. So he's been a massive part of it.
Yeah.
So I think he, you know, so something. Yeah. That's
and
it's kind of, and it was more sort of beautiful. What I'm happy about is that when Joe wrote the foreword to the book, that was the last thing I did with him, was to read him that.
Yeah.
So Joe sent the foreword to the book the day I had to go back to UK, and that was the last time someone did that. I read the whole thing for him.
Wow.
And he loved it, and so I'm happy that he,
of course, yeah. And he loved the fact that you were working on this.
Especially, but I was very close to my dad, to me, so he was very proud of me. And he was sort of, I saw him in the pictures, he's like, "Why do you take those guys out? Why do you take it?"
Yeah, so he had ideas about what
he had, his own vision of it. He had his own vision. He was a narcissist as well, so yeah.
Okay, so if someone wants to, the people that get to this point in the podcast, right, those that are most likely to be reactive to what we've talked about, right? So usually about 30-40%. We've got this thing called the 30% of Tottenham, not Tottenham, but the Fighting Cock, who people that get to the end of the podcast, and these are the people that are going to really have listened to what you've said. What we've talked about.
Are there only 30% that listens the whole way through?
Well, actually, we had a little look at it, and it's up to 42%. And 42% is really helpful.
It might dip to about 5% this
week. So, what's your website? How do people pick it up?
Well, so it's Martin Anderson, mm-hmm. and it's spelled with an E-S-E-N.
E-S-E-N, right.
Yeah, martinanderson.co.uk.
And you can get it from your website?
Find it, yes.
And it'll be shipped out to you?
It will. So the books will arrive. I've just been to Italy, printing the books, and they will arrive on the 9th of December. They're pre-orders now, and they will ship on the 16th of December.
I think,
and they are guaranteed next day delivery. So you
next
should,
day delivery?
Yeah,
wow.
So you should get them.
So we're going to release this as they're available.
I hate that. I don't want this to be a hard sales, but anyway.
No. All right, well, just to qualify why I'm pushing it now, is because you've invested financially substantially into this.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not. It's
I know.
Not, yeah,
I know it isn't mine, right? I understand. It's a nice, humble way to look at it, and that's not the point. But the fact is, this isn't a publisher that picked you up and chose to do it.
No,
this is a passion project.
Yeah,
and in order to see its realization, you've had to give up insane amounts of time with your family and your children.
Yeah,
you've had to pay huge amounts of money to get it produced.
Yeah. If you want my wife not to leave me,
exactly. If you sell like 50 copies of the book, then you might need someone to stay, right?
Well, I just, do you know what? I just hope that it will resonance with some, with some fans similar to me that love the club and have been part of that history of football and can recognise the. Get something, feel something visceral out of it.
Because
that's the whole point of me doing it. It's kind of, I feel it in my stomach.
Yeah,
and
of course.
You know, and that's what it's about. And it's, you know.
Well, I heard about it 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, we're sitting in a room talking about it. And
I'm really happy. Thank you so much for the interest.
It's an absolute pleasure. I've managed to see something that most people haven't seen and will become, I'm sure, folklore in Tottenham history.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Cock! It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Cock! A camel turn up!
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
When I clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me?
That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing.
So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.